Well, we've got time right now, as we do every Tuesday. Brad Graber joins us. He is our financial planner, our financial advisor, and he's got great advice. It's always tied biblically, and that's one of the things we appreciate about Brad. He also has the website investingintruth.com. Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're going to talk today about building an emergency fund, and I will tell you, like owning my own property now, and I've got a furnace, and it's the original furnace, so I start looking at these things thinking, oh, okay, Lord, just, you know, favor, please, let this thing keep running. But how do we build an emergency fund for those things we don't expect?
Well, and just having that emergency fund is so important. So just like yourself, you see that time is coming. So we know that things are going to come up. It's not a matter of if they're going to come up, it's a matter of when. And as we start to look at how can we get ourselves debt-free, how can we remain debt-free, an emergency fund is one of the most crucial pieces that we can have there. And even if we have current debt, there's always that battle of, okay, do I use everything I have to pay down that debt as quickly as possible, or do I build an emergency fund? And what I find is if people ignore the emergency fund and just try to pay off their current debt, they're always running right on that edge of one new unexpected expense is going to put them into new debt, which just kind of spirals that plan out of control. So an emergency fund is a very crucial piece of the puzzle of getting our financial lives in order. And one of the first things I like to have people do that I counsel is to draw that line in the sand and say, you know what, from today forward, I'm not going to take out any new debt. And then I throw in one caveat, without wise counsel telling me that that is the right choice. And by drawing that line in the sand, it gives us a border. It gives us that protection from just easily going out and taking on new debt for whatever it may be. But it does give us that option that, you know, if we've lived a lifestyle that has been used to debt, we don't have an emergency fund built up, just like in your case, you're talking about your furnace possibly going out. If you haven't done any proper planning up to this point, all it takes is that furnace going out, and what's the other solution? You don't have that savings created and set aside for that purpose. So if we've lived many years without planning, then it may take a little while before we can get ourselves in a position to be able to handle a big expense like that without debt. But the idea is that we're always seeking wise counsel so that they can speak into our lives and maybe even give us ideas that we didn't think of before that could help us to stay out of debt and while we're building up that emergency fund so we can permanently stay out of debt.
Well, Brad, most people, it seems, do have some level of debt, some greater than others. Where do we start with building that emergency fund? I know that might depend on a person's debt structure, how much they're going to set aside, but how do we know how much to set aside versus what's going out versus what we're giving to our church and making sure we still have enough to live on day to day?
Sure. There's a lot of rules of thumb out there. A lot of people say start with $1,000 in your emergency fund, and with the ultimate goal of getting to 3 to 6 months of your budgeted expenses set aside for you. I think it's a little more complicated than that because each person's situation is going to be a little bit different. So I like to have people, as part of that calculation, actually look at what do you need in your life? What are the financial risks that you're trying to avoid or be able to cover with an emergency fund? Because remember, I like to call the emergency fund a debt avoidance fund because we want to keep those unexpected things from running us back into debt. So there's several things to look at. Number one is, what's the reliability of your income? What's the risk that you're either going to lose your job or, you know, if you're in a commission-type position, that your income is going to decrease unexpectedly? And we need to be able to absorb and be able to pay our budgeted expenses, so not even unexpected expenses in that case, but we need to be able to pay for our lifestyle if our income goes down or if we lose our income. So that's one thing we have to factor in. And the greater the risk of our income change, the more we probably need to have set aside. The other one is, how tight is our budget? So if in each month you have several hundred dollars that's not actually dedicated to lifestyle expenses, then you may be able to pay for some of the smaller things just out of your monthly paycheck. So in that case, you probably don't need as much of an emergency fund as somebody that is trying to squeeze out every dollar to be able to pay their bills. The other one is the reliability of the things that we own. So if we've got a car that's, you know, on its last leg, if we've got a furnace that's 20 years old or more, we need to take those things into account because, again, God's given us wisdom to be able to plan. So we know that those things are going to eventually break down. And the older they are, the closer we are to that date. So we need to take those things into account. And then the last thing I like to look at is, what are your uninsured risks? So by that I mean, you know, your health care deductibility, your homeowner's deductibility, your automobile deductibility. If something happens to one of those things, how much of the financial burden are you going to bear yourself versus insurance picking it up? And the bigger our deductibles are, or the more risk we are of a health emergency or something like that, then we have to account for that as well. And we think through those things. That allows us to see what's the likelihood of any of these things happening and how big is it. And the bigger our risk is, the more we need to have set aside. So that's about the easiest way I can say it from a personal standpoint. Again, the $1,000 or the 3 to 6 months of budgeted expenses, those are fine, but I think eventually we have to get to the personal side of it and make sure that we're doing it properly for our own situation.
So it sounds like, Brad, we want to really protect it. First, we've got to establish this emergency fund. Then we want to keep it safe. We want to protect it, define what it's going to be used for, and be consistent. Sometimes we've got to pull in extra income. I mean, I work an extra part-time job Monday through Friday because that's part of the thing. It helps with emergency fund building.
Yeah, if things are tight, whether we're trying to pay off debt, whether we're trying to build up an emergency fund, whatever it is, earning extra income is always a possibility. We just always have to take into account, what am I sacrificing to earn that extra income? And make sure that
sleep.
What you're earning is worth the sacrifice you're making.
Yeah, I'm sacrificing sleep, Brad. That's what I'm sacrificing. Oh, well, it's well worth it. God is good, so no complaints there.
Hey, Brad, you talk about the emergency fund, protecting it from ourselves. What do you mean by that?
Well, again, we need to have borders. And just like I like that line in the sand of, I'm not taking out any new debt without asking for wise counsel to tell me it's okay. The same thing kind of holds true with the emergency fund. If we keep our emergency fund in our checking account or even in a savings account linked to our checking account, it's awful easy to make that transfer and use it to pay for whatever came up and that spur-of-the-moment decision, because that money's still easily there and available. I like to protect it by putting a wall around it. And by that, it could be a separate account at your bank that's not linked to your checking account, so you may actually have to physically go to the bank or make a call to move the money over. Or even better, I like setting it up at a different financial institution. So there's not that many emergencies that come up where I have to have the cash same day. Normally, I'm at least going to have a little bit of a period of time before I need it. So as long as I've got a few days, I can easily get to that money in my emergency fund that's at a different bank. And by having it there, the nice thing is it has created that separation from my bill-paying account. And when something comes up, well, if a spur-of-the-moment idea comes up and it's more of an impulse decision, I'm not going to take the step to go get that money. But in the case that it is an actual emergency, well, then it's not that hard. I can go do it. But at least it makes me think, and it's part of a process of, is this really an emergency? Is this really the purpose that I had set this money aside for? And it just kind of reminds me of a story. I don't know if there's any truth to this or not, but of a lady who used to keep her her emergency fund frozen in a block of ice in her freezer.
Oh, wow.
The idea was that it was going to take a little bit of time to get to it, and she couldn't just go spend it for whatever she wanted to.
Might have been a little soggy, too, once she did get to it, right?
Well, hopefully it was protected.
Okay. Well, I do that as far as my emergency fund. That's in a totally separate financial institution from my other accounts. And so it's kind of, in a way, an out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing. But, yeah, that's how I'm building. It's kind of, I know it's there. I can have to physically go over there to put money in it, but I can't take money out.
Yeah, and one of the things you said earlier about being consistent, I love the idea of the out-of-sight, out-of-mind money, and if we can set it up so that $10 or $20 out of every paycheck goes by direct deposit to our emergency fund, it's a great way to slowly build that thing over time. And if we're not touching it, it's amazing how fast that'll grow over the years.
And I like what you say, too, about capturing extra income, Brad, and setting that aside as well, because too often I think we're so tempted. The extra income comes in. Maybe it's a tax refund. Maybe it's a rebate we weren't expecting on something. And it's like, woohoo, I'm going to go out and buy me something.
Yeah, every new dollar that comes in, I like to say it as, let's capture the unexpected money. So if we, you know, right now is a perfect time. So people are getting tax refunds in. Rather than looking at that as available spending money, why not use it to kickstart your financial plan? That may be paying off a debt. That may be kickstarting your emergency fund so that you've got enough set aside that you're not worried about that unexpected expense coming up that might push you into new debt. So it's a great time, especially this time of year, to be able to look at, okay, I wasn't expecting this to come in, or even if you get the extra paycheck. So sometimes people are paid twice or every 2 weeks. So there's those two times a year where you get the extra paycheck. Catch that money and use it to kickstart your financial plan. And even if your budget is normally tight, those unexpected things can quickly build up your emergency fund or quickly pay off those additional debts you're trying to get rid of.